Hey there, gang. Jazz here. On this episode of the Game Show Show and Stuff on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network, me and Andy discuss the record industry of today and yesteryear, hip-hop and productivity, with one of our favorite new-school hip-hop artists, Pete Miser, rapper, producer, Brooklynite, Portlander, breadmaker, spoon carver, etc. extraordinaire. During our interview, you'll hear Pete Miser say,
"Yo, I am going to freak you out right now."
And you'll hear me say,
"Okay."
And you'll hear Andy say,
"Okay."
But first, how about the first song by Pete Miser that me and Andy ever heard on MySpace? Oh, man. It seems like so long ago.
Okay.
Okay.
Here it is, y'all. Scent of a Robot. And then the show.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
I can do it all. French kiss, smoke a spliff, give a shit about baseball. I come home at night to my robot wife, drink a light beer and watch me a DVD. I look good, you can't even tell, they have me fooled. Implanting memories of puberty and preschool. Girls that broke my heart and dark nights in the summer, just a string of primary numbers. Didn't bother me none before I knew I'm a slave, it's okay, I got things to do. But then I'm sitting there at work when my email blinks and it's from the big boss, but it wasn't for me. It's just another memo about our robot line. See attached schematics detailing a robot mind, and I find that when I look close, all I see is a blueprint to manufacture me. I'm a robot, programmed not to know that I'm a robot. But some dumb fuck emailed me the computer code that makes up my soul. Now I'm running around trying to forget what I know. I'm a robot, programmed not to know that I'm a robot. But some dumb fuck emailed me the computer code that makes up my soul. Now I'm running around trying to forget what I know. A little bit hurt. How many people at work know what I just found out? Round about noon, my boss calls. Wants to see me in his office, but I stall for as long as I can. But the man comes down on my floor before I throw a tantrum. I can't run, so I sit there with his hand on my shoulder saying,
"Listen, Pete, you've been a real soldier."
Said he was sorry that I saw that email, and he was hoping that I wouldn't quit the firm. He told me that I was a joy to work with, and Brown knows me so hard I started to squirm. Concerned looks on the faces of the people I work with, and lots of small talk with the robot issue skirted. Made me nervous, so I rolled up and I asked my boss if I could have the afternoon off. I'm a robot, programmed not to know that I'm a robot. But some dumb fuck emailed me the computer code that makes up my soul. Now I'm running around trying to forget what I know. I'm a robot, programmed not to know that I'm a robot. But some dumb fuck emailed me the computer code that makes up my soul. Now I'm running around trying to forget what I know.
Keep cats guessing and wondering what's next.
For me, it was a Friday, so I stayed away from the office for the whole stinking weekend. My dark mood deepened into a dull depression, leaving me with even more damn questions. Like, what the hell do I tell my robot kids? And how long does a healthy robot live? And how did I make it through the airport x-ray? Or was that one of those fake memories? It ain't easy knowing the truth. I'm blowing a fuse. My soul feels funny like there's a hole in my shoe. I need a moment or two. Let me go over the clues. I drank a case of Bud Light. It's still sober and new. I got a few things to do and even more to put in order. Walking through the kitchen tripping. There's my wife and baby daughter. And they can see by the look on my face. So I sit them down and tell them I've got something to say. Honey?
Yeah?
Snookums?
What?
You're not gonna like this.
What did you do this time?
I'm a robot,
programmed not to know that I'm a robot. But some dumb fuck emailed me the computer code that makes up my soul. Now I'm running around trying to forget what I know.
I'm a robot,
programmed not to know that I'm a robot. But some dumb fuck emailed me the computer code that makes up my soul. Now I'm running around trying to forget what I know.
I'm a robot,
programmed not to know that I'm a robot. But some dumb fuck emailed me the computer code that makes up my soul. Now I'm running around trying to forget what I know.
I'm a robot,
programmed not to know that I'm a robot. But some dumb fuck emailed me the computer code that makes up my soul. Now I'm running around trying to forget what I know.
That's the biggest thing I want to impress upon you. We want you here, we need you here. So just take some time off, take the day off, take the week off, and just sleep on it and think about it and come back fresh on Monday, and I know your aunt will be. I want to stay. I'm happy here. And that's what we want. We want you to be happy, and we're going to work towards that goal together, mutually. It's a mutual understanding.
Okay. All right,
here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, listeners in Chicago and around the world, Windy City citizens and surrounding suburbanites, tech-savvy millennials and baby-booming Luddites, welcome to yet another very special The Game Show Show and Stuff!
Ooh, no time to play, no excuses, it's time to play.
Live from somewhere in Chicago, but nowhere in particular, and available everywhere on the World Wide Web, it's the Game Show Show and Stuff!
Greetings!
That's right. The Game Show Show and Stuff. A show with games and stuff. Music, comedy, variety, and more. News, reviews, interviews. Now with 100% more profanity. Trivia games, guessing games, physical challenges. On the Radio Misfits Podcast Network. Everybody dance! A man who needs no introduction. Allow me to introduce your host, introducing Anderson Lover!
Victory!
Victory for the forces of democratic freedom!
You better believe it! You better believe it, America! Here we go! Here we go! Everybody, sit down, everybody.
Yeah, let's get this party started, right?
Man, what a great house we have tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Just holding the fort down.
That's
tonight,
right.
With my jovial, jaunty, jocund announcer, Mr. James Anthony Zoakley Jazz, everybody.
Hey. Thank you, Anderson. Thank you, everybody, so much. But please do not use my government name. I have a perfectly fantastic nickname. Thanks, Mom.
Bitches.
The basic
calling
basic.
All the basic bitches.
What about the basic bitches?
We're calling them. We're calling all of them tonight.
All right. I just don't want my mom to hear this and misconstrue it for me calling
she's
her
a complicated
a basic bitch.
She's complicated.
She's very complicated.
A complex bitch.
As
not
bitches
like the
go.
Rest of them, though.
That's right.
Calling all the basic bitches.
So that's something to keep in mind tonight during the show.
Right. You're welcome to come to our show. We're
yeah,
calling
all
you.
Of you.
That's right. Complicated bitches, basic bitches,
you
whatever.
Know, when basic got to be popular in the American vocabulary, it's like a thing you say, like it's a dumb person.
Mm-hmm.
When did that happen? Just a couple years ago.
It seems pretty recent, although I seem to recall it being used sparingly in the past. Now it is used liberally and applied to anybody who is in disapproval of the person speaking.
So who would be a basic bitch?
A Donald Trump, maybe?
You think he would?
I think he's a pretty basic bitch.
Why? What makes him basic?
I mean, he just thinks he knows shit, but he don't know shit. And he talks like he knows shit, but he don't really know shit.
Hmm. So say if I'm a person who posted a lot of political articles to
mm-hmm.
Facebook,
uh-huh.
just based on the headline without reading it.
Right.
That would make me a basic bitch?
That is some basic bitch behavior, dude.
Okay.
For real.
Good to know.
Yeah. Don't do it.
I don't. But I know people who do.
Yeah, good.
I know. Apparently I know a lot of basic bitches.
Don't we all?
I know too many.
No, nobody wants to be called that. No one wants to admit to being a basic bitch, but we all have a little basic bitch in us.
Calling all the basic bitches.
Well, maybe I need to figure out what I'm a basic bitch about, and then try to change it.
Sure.
Become a more complex bitch.
Yeah, do it.
For what? I think I'm good at everything.
You think so. But don't we all? Well, actually, it's funny. The very act of bringing in a more interesting food choice for this podcast has opened us up to be more complicated bitches in that department, I would say.
That's right. Tonight's show is brought to you by Garib Nawaz.
Yeah, buddy!
Garib Nawaz, Indian Pakistani food on the corner of Seeley and Devon.
That's right. It's delicious. Garib Nawaz, from what I've been told, means poor prince.
Poor prince.
And so it's tasty food at a reasonable price for all people. And that's one of the reasons why if you go down Devon Avenue and you pass Garib Nawaz, which is a block west of Damon and about six blocks east of Western, you'll see all the cabbies there, dude. That's how you know it's the good place to go. Because those cats are, like, working. They want good food, fast, cheap. And the shit is dope.
It is very good. We had tonight the Euros Paratha.
That's right. And the paratha is basically what I call, for the layman or the basic bitch.
Basic bitches.
I call it a Pakistani burrito.
All the basic bitches.
Right, so that's good to know.
It's really good. It's like they take the naan bread and they put it on a little oily grill and they just like grill it up a little bit. And then they put all the marinated meat in there with some onions and spices and stuff. And then you put a little yogurt sauce on it and the shit is divine, man.
Yeah, it's like a gyro. Like like an Indian gyro.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Is India close to Greece?
Not really, but
more of my basic bitch behavior.
That's right. You Google that shit, you basic bitch.
Basic bitches. Calling all the basic bitches. There's a new announcement.
What is the announcement?
It's your basic. You're a basic bitch. Well, we had that. We also had some chicken biryani, which was very good. Rice and chicken.
Good. It's the chili chicken, too. It's red, but it's not really as spicy as it looks.
Mm-hmm.
It's just tasty spicy.
And then we had a mimosa. What are they called?
Mm-hmm.
Mimosa.
Samosa.
Samosa.
It rhymes with mimosa.
Yeah, you could eat a beef samosa and have a mimosa for brunch.
That'd be delicious.
Right?
I would love that.
Very good.
It's delicious.
So, that's something to look forward to in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Mimosas and samosas.
Yeah.
But we also have a great show tonight because with us, calling in, not here with us.
Unfortunately, because if he was here, he'd be loving this food, man.
All the way from New York City by way of Portland, Oregon.
Yeah.
The great rapper, Pete Miser.
Pete motherfucking Miser in the house. This is like a dream come true, dude.
I know. We've been playing Pete Miser music since 2005, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. We had a DJ friend that would always play a song of his called Scent of a Robot. We'll play it later in the show.
Yeah.
But he's going to be on the show, and we're pretty stoked about that.
Yeah, buddy.
And we're going to do some news, and we have a short week this week.
That's right.
Let's turn that shit off. I can't take that music anymore. I'm losing my mind over that music.
Hold on, man. It's almost over anyway. Hold on. Man, that was some basic bitch shit right there, bud.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm basic bitch when it comes to Pakistani music. I like the beat, but the singing cuts right through my temple.
Through your temple?
Yeah, right through my ears, right through my head.
Okay. There's only 10 more seconds.
Calling all the basic bitches.
All right, that's some basic bitch music right there.
Hey, come on. That's good stuff.
Yeah. Would you say that the food at Garib Nawaz is basic food? Since it's few ingredients mixed together?
I mean, yes, in that sense. I wouldn't call it basic in the more modern, you know, the more modern insinuation of
that it's
term.
Stupid.
Yeah.
It's not stupid.
Oh, my
food.
God. No, it's brilliant. I always go there. You go there. This is what happens. You go to Grib Noir's. You get three things. You spend $7-$8, and you got 2 days' worth of meals. It's incredible.
It's like going grocery shopping.
Basically.
Except you don't have to cook it.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's so awesome.
That is very unbasic.
That's right. Go to Grib Noir's. Please. Shit is dope.
Stop talking to us about not going there. We won't listen.
No.
That's what basic bitches might
That's
say.
That's right. They do. Fuck
Calling
them.
All the basic bitches.
That's you if you don't go there. So, I hope you go. Now, what I was in the middle of saying
yes.
before I was so rudely interrupted by the Pakistani woman was that we will be at the Glenwood Avenue Arts Fair.
That's right.
This weekend. August 20th, you won't hear this show before that.
Oh, that's true, you won't.
Before our show there.
That's true.
But we'll have two shows next week if you listen.
That's right.
So that'll be cool.
It's going to be awesome, man. It's actually, in my opinion, the best Summer Street Fest in Chicago for two reasons. They usually have all the decent acts that you're going to see, and they have about half as many weird corporate things at the booths, and so it's more art, more local stuff. More really cool Chicago stuff.
Less Verizon trucks.
Yeah, exactly. No
with
Verizon.
The fold-out sides and all that shit.
No, like Tribune, you know, Tronc giveaways and, you know, trying to
get a free White Sox hat if you buy a newspaper subscription for 3 years.
That nobody wants anymore. Yeah. Nobody wants a newspaper, guys. Nobody. Keep that shit to yourself, Tribune.
No one has wanted one in years.
No.
Sorry, Tribune.
Yeah.
We like you. We've worked for you before.
That's right.
But you're not winning on this one.
No, not at all.
So Pete Miser, Glenwood Avenue Arts Fair.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it. I just watched a show. Oh, you watched Mad Dogs.
I watched it, dude.
Pretty
it's
good.
So good. I would describe Mad Dogs, which is sadly only available on Amazon Prime. So if you don't have Amazon Prime... Which you should, because if you order stuff from Amazon, it's worth it. But then they give you all this free stuff, and then you can rent things for free, which is kind of cool, too. But it's only available on Amazon Prime. But I've been describing it as, it's like 24 meets Miami Vice meets Twin Peaks. It's like all those things mashed up. Yeah,
pretty good.
It's pretty
sweet.
That's
a great description.
Thanks.
I was kind of describing it as a modern Very Bad Things.
Oh. Those are both very interesting sales pitches. So yeah. I think we could
watch either one of
them. Yeah. We could get everybody. Basic bitches, complicated bitches. We could get all kinds of bitches to watch that
show. Calling all the basic bitches.
Watch Mad Dogs, you basic bitches.
That's right. That shit is dope.
I started watching a show called Animal Kingdom.
Oh, really?
Which is also excellent.
Okay.
Which is also based on a British thing,
oh,
like Mad
that's
Dogs.
That's right. Everything is getting ripped off from the Brits.
I'm sorry. I think it's based on an Australian thing. But
okay.
It's the guy from Bloodline, Ben Mendelsohn.
All right.
Plays the lead in that.
And Ellen Barkin. I remember seeing the commercials and the promo for that thing during maybe the Super Bowl or the
maybe.
NBA Finals. I don't know. It was this spring sometime.
Very, very good.
Okay.
Get
good
a chance to
know. To
watch that.
All right. I will. You've recommended some pretty good stuff to me, Andy. I will say. A lot of those things.
I don't
things.
Know much, but I'm a basic bitch about pretty much everything in my life,
that's
except
right.
for TV.
That's right. Good job.
All right. Well, Jazz.
Yes, Anderson.
If you're ready, let's get started with some news.
Oh, I've been waiting for it all day long.
Time now for... Anderson Lawther presents Something About Things in the News and Stuff.
Without a doubt, statistically speaking, America's favorite portion of the game show and stuff on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network. It's Anderson Lawther presents Something About Things in the News and Stuff.
They can't get enough.
Oh, no.
They need to shut up about it, to be honest.
Oh, my
gosh. Enough already.
Oh, so many emails. Just sacks and sacks of emails.
Well, I'd like to start with our first story, Because it is right out of Florida.
Really? Florida?
Florida.
The Florida Report.
Florida.
That's right. If you need it bad, they've got it good. Florida.
Well, this story is right out of Tequesta, Florida.
Oh, never heard of it.
Police found a suspect biting off part of a victim's face after a gruesome double homicide in Monday night in Florida.
Oh, God. Insult to injury, dude. You kill a bitch and then you chew their face off.
That's some basic bitch activity.
It really is
right
some bitch-ass shit.
The Martin County of Florida Sheriff's Office responded to the home on Kokomo Lane around 9:20 p.m. after receiving a call from a neighbor who said he'd been stabbed while trying to break up a fight.
Oh.
The first deputy to arrive at the scene saw the suspect on top of the male victim in the driveway. The suspect was biting off parts of the man's face.
Oh.
The deputy used a stun gun on the suspect, but it had no effect.
Oh, wow.
A canine officer also bit him, but that didn't stop him.
Dang.
Deputies eventually pried him off the man's body. Investigators found the victim's wife dead in the garage.
Wow.
Deputies said the suspect and the male victim knew each other, but were trying to determine their relationship. So.
Wow.
I'm going to go ahead and guess some Florida drugs were involved in this.
Absolutely.
Florida.
Say bath salts.
Florida, Florida, Florida.
Maybe some of that K-12 or what is that stuff called?
Florida, K-2?
K-2.
Florida, Florida.
That's some evil stuff.
Take some K-2 and some bath salts and head on out.
For a night
on the town.
For a night out in Florida.
Florida.
Pre-gaming, you know,
yeah.
They call it pre-gaming, uh-huh. Where you go out before you go out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or you drink and do all that
right,
stuff.
Right, right, right.
So we'll pre-game by taking some bath salts and some K2 before
right.
We hit the club. And if we're lucky, we'll be eating someone's face by 10 p.m. Like
absolutely. I tell you what, man, we should just move the show to Florida. We'd be right in the thick of it. We'd be doing live on the street interviews
inside
with people
an alligator's
chewing,
mouth.
Exactly, and chewing people's faces off. That would be awesome.
Tonight on the show, we have a man who ate another man's face and an alligator who ate that guy.
Wow.
What's happening down there?
What a lineup that
would
be.
What a terrible fucking hellhole Florida is.
It's pretty bad.
You know, I've been down there and it seems actually pretty nice. But when you hear these stories,
it's you have to have very limited contact. Very limited. Very limited exposure.
Well, this story you couldn't make up, Jazz, but okay. Johnny Depp is at it again.
Tell me about it, bro.
Do you know Johnny Depp?
Oh,
you know
yeah. I've heard this story now, too. I happen to see it in my little notifications about AP News, which is really kind of disappointing that actually when I'm used to my phone notifying me that there were bombs in Thailand or a suicide bomber in Iran, it's also informing me that Johnny Depp is breaking up with his broad and they're finally settling. This broad that's 22 years younger than him.
Yeah.
Come on. You knew that shit wasn't going
to
work,
What does Johnny Depp need to get married for?
I don't know.
Come on, dude. You were like the highest paid. All through the 2000s, he was the highest paid movie star in the world.
Yeah.
What? He has castles.
Yeah.
Literally. All over the world. Castles.
Literally.
What does he need to marry some broad for?
I don't know,
He could
man.
Bang everyone.
Yeah. He could bang you, me, anybody.
Yeah, I'd let him.
Anybody.
I'd be like, Johnny Depp, bang me.
He would look at you with those eyes and maybe do like his Jack Sparrow voice and make you laugh and kind of unsettle you.
Do his Hunter Thompson thing.
That's right.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, banging you.
Yeah. his big dong in my mouth. Nothing basic bitch about that.
No.
I'd be honored.
That's right.
Mr. Depp.
That's right.
Well, he's gone out of his way to creep us all out, not only in his movies, but this as well.
Yeah, all right, what's this one?
The Edward Scissorhands star cut off the tip of his middle digit, Rahm Emanuel style.
Really?
In a jealous, drug-fueled rage, and then used the bloody stump to scrawl the names of the leading men he accused his wife of having sex with on the walls of an Australian villa.
Oh. Whoa, wait a minute. I didn't know that part of the story, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
We can't just talk about the divorce. This is the stuff she's bringing to court.
Oh, my God, man. What the fuck?
Johnny Depp reportedly went on a drug binge, lost part of his finger, and left a bloody message accusing Amber Heard of sleeping with Billy Bob Thornton.
Oh, my God. That's awful. Oh. I don't know what's more disgusting, him losing his finger or her sleeping with Billy Bob Thornton. Yeah.
Well, the Pirates of the Caribbean veteran dipped his severed finger in blue paint and wrote, starring Billy Bob, Easy Amber,
on
a mirror.
That's so weird.
He was super high. He consumed an entire bag's worth of ecstasy. He was taking coke, smoking weed, and drinking red wine.
Wow.
He was so high he couldn't feel anything and was writing all over the walls in blood and his paint that he dipped his severed finger in.
Jesus Christ. See, now that's why I don't drink red wine.
Yeah, you get caught up in this red
wine.
I'll
do all the other shit. Red wine? Stay away from that. I'm just kidding.
Depp mutilated himself after smashing several bottles and windows, then bashed a telephone against the wall so hard it sheared a piece of plastic off the phone that cut off his finger.
Oh, my God.
The gruesome incident took place while Depp, 53 years old.
Yeah, he's too old for this shit, man.
You gotta chill out, bro.
Yeah, come on, dude.
You have $100 million.
Yeah.
At least.
At least.
You have houses all over the world.
Everywhere.
You're staying in an Australian villa filming your seventh fucking Pirates of the Caribbean movie or whatever. You know?
Yeah, he's a millionaire.
Which he's going to make $100 million just for that
movie. Yeah, of course he is.
And you're 53.
Yeah.
You're married to a 30-year-old.
Yeah.
And you're taking a bag full of ecstasy. The other stuff is fine, but you can't just take ecstasy if you're hanging out with one girl in a little villa in Australia. You can't take 20 ecstasy pills.
Well, you can't take a bag of them. You could drop one and, you know, get kinky, but goddamn. See, now I'm reconsidering this idea of letting Johnny Depp bang me. I don't think I could do it after all. I'm sorry, bro.
I couldn't deal with him wrecking my house like
that. No way.
If he was jealous of me sleeping with someone else.
Plus, the thought of him touching me with his mutilated finger is just a little too gross.
His finger.
His mutilated paint finger. Oh. Nasty.
That is some basic bitch behavior.
That is truly basic, bro.
Johnny Depp, you need to quit being such a basic bitch.
Yeah, fuck that shit, dude. You gotta get over it.
You gotta get a 40-year-old woman, dude.
Yeah, get somebody a little closer.
A 40-year-old woman's gonna send you in a rage like that.
No way. No way.
I mean, even the 40-year-old women that Johnny Depp would get would still be the hottest 40-year-old women.
Of course. Absolutely. 40's
not that old.
No, life begins at 40, I believe.
I've heard that from you before.
That's right. I think I said it at 30 also.
Yeah, life begins at 40. Drunk teachers!
Sorry. Whoops. Those are the best kind!
A new teacher in Wagoner, Oklahoma, was arrested on her first day for showing up at the school both drunk and without pants.
Oh, God. That's a hell of an intro right there, dude.
School officials called the police around 9 a.m. on Monday morning to report Lori Ann Hill, 49, out of sorts and missing her pants.
Out of sorts is the technical term now.
Police arrived to find her in an empty classroom. Without too much trouble, believing she was under the influence of alcohol.
Oh, yeah.
She was in the room disoriented, but by the time we got in there, she was wearing shorts.
Oh, my gosh.
So there you go.
That is crazy, dude. You know what? I mean,
I wish I went to a school where teachers... Do you ever think about how teachers, when you were a kid, like all the weird, kinky, and messed up shit they were into?
Uh-huh.
But you never know.
No.
Because when you were a kid, you have no idea.
No. No, I'm not really surprised that a teacher would show up drunk necessarily.
No, people have alcoholism all over the world.
Yeah,
every walk of life.
Yeah, and sometimes you know, look, everybody's gone to work hungover, and even people who work in schools, sadly, they'll end up having to toe the line a little dry. But I don't know. What's really surprising to me about that story is that it didn't happen in Seriously, that's a straight up pantsless drunk teacher Florida story.
Yeah, it is, but it's Oklahoma.
I know, which is kind of like the Florida of the West.
Pokemon Go is the devil.
Tell me something I don't know.
A pastor in some place, I don't even fucking know where this guy is. He's a conservative Orthodox Christian pastor.
Uh-huh.
Has a radio show.
Okay.
His name is Rick Wiles.
Uh-huh.
And he has a popular new conspiracy theory, Jazz.
I'm fascinated.
His new conspiracy theory is that Pikachu from Pokemon Go, you know, the little yellow football.
Oh, yeah, we all know Pikachu.
He looks cute and friendly, but he's a cyber demon.
Really?
Let's see. See if we can get some cyber demons.
These Pokemon creatures are like virtual cyber demons.
Yes, digital demons.
Digital demons. Now, so this is where this starts to get weird. If it's not weird yet, it's going to get weird.
Yeah, it's already weird.
So this morning, Doc and Edward and I are in an editorial meeting. We're talking about the topics for today's program. And Pokemon Go was one of the topics.
Right.
Now, this is before the police officers showed up.
Right.
We're talking about Pokemon Go.
Yeah,
and
talk
Edward
about it.
Edward and Doc said, Rick, we're gonna present to you a really far-out idea about Pokemon Go.
I need a beer for this.
Far out.
What if this technology is transferred to Islamic jihadists?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Islamic jihadists have an app.
Yep.
That shows them where Christians are located geographically.
God,
now you may say, well, how is that possible?
Right. You would.
Yeah.
There's a reason why we ask that.
Yes.
Because the game itself reveals something, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Yep. Go ahead.
So after the police officer told us that this man that we saw Friday on our property riding around our building holding his phone.
A grown man.
A grown, 40-year-old man on a four-wheeler riding around our building suspiciously, holding his phone up like he's photographing our building.
Uh-huh.
Then the police officer comes back and tells us, look, I solved the case. He was playing Pokemon Go.
Oh.
Good job, detective.
Good job.
This is why in the office today we all did a triple take looking at each other. Because the theory that Doc and Edward presented to me this morning before the police officer came here was, what if we find out that Pokemon Go is primarily, the demons are primarily being located inside churches?
This is such a far-fetched bullshit story.
So the jihadists in the Middle East.
Right.
Have set up an app called Pokemon.
Right.
Where you go and you hunt demons inside churches.
Uh-huh.
Now, I have played Pokemon Go.
Yeah, you did.
Wes does, still.
Yeah, he's active.
I have never seen one inside of a church.
Right, of all the places. They've been off of cliffs. They've been in all kinds of places.
In alligators' mouths.
Yeah, no churches yet, though.
Well, it's an interesting theory, though.
It's very interesting.
I'm going to keep my eye on this because,
man,
that is just what we need as left-leaning Americans,
man,
to have some of this shit come true.
Oh, God. If and when that day comes and we all have to eat our words,
I'll be like, holy shit, we broke the news right here.
Yeah, we did it. Good for us.
I told everyone, for the record. I want to go on the record twice here so that we can make two different clips of this, Jazz.
Okay, go ahead.
I just want to say that I told Rick Wiles that there is no way that Pokemon Go could be created by Islamic jihadists.
All right.
Okay, that's one in the can.
Now take two.
Take two. I listened to Rick Wiles, and I believe, and I still believe, and never had a doubt in my mind, that Pokemon Go was created by Islamic jihadists.
All right, now we got all our bases covered.
Now one more just about, let's do it about just passive Chinese people.
Okay.
I never had a doubt in my mind that Pokemon Go was created by passive Chinese people.
So we're covered.
We're covered for anything.
That's right. In any eventuality, God, if you're listening, basic bitches, if you're listening, no matter what, we've got it all covered here on the Game Show Show and Stuff on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network.
Calling all the basic bitches. There's a new announcement. You're basic.
You're basic.
Please, just try to understand. You're basic.
Oh, my gosh.
And Jellyfish Ocean.
Say it one more time.
Jellyfish Ocean.
Is that Billy Ocean's kid's name or something?
Jellyfish, his daughter.
I didn't know what to say to that.
Billy Ocean had a Pokemon. It also sounds like an Inya song.
Yeah.
A woman who fell off a cruise ship and drifted at sea for 38 hours.
Oy.
Survived to tell the incredible tale.
Wow.
A 32-year-old woman, known only as Miss Fan, fell overboard after leaning too far over the fourth deck last Wednesday, the same height as a seven-story building.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh. Miss Fan from Shanghai survived with only minor injuries despite having nothing to cling on to when she fell, not wearing a life jacket, and treading water for nearly 2 days.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, there is nothing more horrifying than the idea of falling into the ocean from really high up.
Yeah.
So you're already fucking disoriented.
Yeah.
And then the cruise ship driving off.
Yeah, it's just going to keep going.
And the water's just black, the sky's black, and here you are in the middle of the fucking ocean.
As somebody who actually has worked on a cruise ship, and I actually was on a transatlantic cruise that had us at sea for 8 days. We were 8 days, no land. So we were in the middle of the ocean. This is a bona fide, terrifying nightmare of mine.
Because
the idea of being lost at sea, floating around, whether you're, whether you got a life jacket or not, is one of the most horrifying things I could ever imagine.
Yeah.
Oh.
There you are.
Oy.
And then there goes the ship.
You're right.
And the idea of another ship coming by in your exact spot.
No way.
Is almost impossible.
Yeah, no way. Sayonara, sucker. You're dead.
Well, she was rescued by fishermen.
Wow.
After 38 hours of not eating or drinking, treading water for 38 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
She was on a 5-day cruise on the Royal Caribbean from Shanghai to South Korea and Japan. She's apparently a very strong swimmer. Apparently. with a college degree in sport.
In sport? I didn't know you could get a degree in that. I want a degree in sport.
She had numerous jellyfish stings.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh. Jellyfish-infested waters she was swimming in.
Golly, I didn't think you could survive that.
Her parents,
multiple stings?
Who were reportedly on the cruise with her, didn't realize she was missing for hours. And then, once they found her dad refused to believe it was her that was alive, that was talking to her on the phone.
That's some weird shit. Oh,
it's
my
like,
gosh.
Man, how can this get worse? No one's going to believe you. It's you.
Right.
When you get out of here. It's like Jason Bourne.
Right. They're just going to bury you.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
A bunch of fishermen picked him up, too. Remember? And they were like, you're a fucking spy, dude.
Uh-huh.
Everyone knew right away.
Right. Oh, my gosh.
That's why she's not given her first name. Just Miss Fan.
Miss Fan. Yeah. She's smart. She's obviously seen the Jason Bourne movies.
She knows what to do.
That's right.
Get stung by a million jellyfish and tread water for 40 hours.
That shit is
That's the part of Jason Bourne that you never hear about. Doesn't
That's
sound
right.
cool.
That's right.
You just hear about him like fucking the girl from Resident Evil.
Yeah. That's the cool part.
Yeah.
The uncool part, jellyfish stings.
The grass is always greener.
That's right. You got to take the good with the bad, the yin with the yang.
Well, Jazz, that's the news.
This has been
Anderson Lauffer presents Something About Things in the News and Stuff.
Oh, it's my favorite part of the show, and I just wish it didn't have to end, Andy.
No, it only goes on for so long.
So long.
I gotta tell you, man, Amazon Prime Day,
yeah.
Do you remember that?
Uh-huh.
It was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I missed it, but what was the big hoo-ha?
Something I bought was these fancy underpants that they say they don't bunch up.
Ooh, really? Mm-hmm. Fancy pants.
They're
over
like
here.
Lycra spandex almost,
oh,
and they don't bunch,
okay.
Which is cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
But you also cannot wash them with other things.
Really?
Yeah, you have to wash them in cold water, like that, like their panties.
Okay,
basically.
Well, you know, it's funny. I think that more of us should hand wash our drawers anyway.
I don't know, man. It's a pain in the ass.
No pun intended.
Yeah. So I get out these things
uh-huh.
out of the wash. And I'm like, ah, fuck it. I'm just going to throw them all in. I got them on Prime Day. Whatever.
Oh, no.
I got them out, and I was like, oh, maybe they're okay. And I'm wearing some right now. I feel like I got my hair suit on.
Oh, God. That's awful. What, did they shrink up on
they
you?
They shrinked up.
Oh, man. See, you
my
can't
balls
do that,
have
man.
Never felt bigger.
The funny thing is, though, well, good for you. That's a good feeling, I guess. It's a mixed bag. See, you got to take the good with the bad, the yin with the yang. The funny thing is, those kinds of things, I always hand wash those fancy fabrics anyway because they dry so fast.
Mm-hmm.
So all you got to do, you know, you fill up a bucket, you put in some water, you give them a shake, you give them a rinse, you hang them up, and then they're ready to go the next day. You could wear them every day.
Maybe I should. I got four pair. I threw them all in.
Oh, man. I'm sorry.
But it was only $10 or something. But they are, when I first put them on, I was like, I made the switch.
Yeah.
I'm never going back to other underpants.
Sure, sure.
Just these four pairs.
These four pairs of underpants.
That's it.
See, and that's why you got to hand wash them shits at the end of the day. You get out of your shower, you fucking wash them, you rinse them, you hang them. They're ready to go the next day. When you get in the shower, you're ready to go. You get out of the shower, you put on your drawers, and, you know, boom. Shalock, lock, boom.
Well, I wish I could see the back. I'd tell you what brand they are. Give
okay.
them a shout out for the first time wearing them.
All right.
So awesome.
All right. Well, next time, I'm not going to look either.
They're getting a nasty Yelp review, though.
I'm not going to look at your underwear tag today,
all right.
Anderson.
All right. Fair enough.
But I will ask you to please tell me more about your upcoming endeavor to solve the Questival.
Yes. August 26th, 27th.
You're doing it.
I'm doing it.
I just didn't have the balls to do it.
With a team of buddies, we're going on the Questival.
All right.
We're going to be out there. It starts at 7 p.m. on August the 26th in
okay.
Lincoln Park.
Right.
The actual park, Lincoln Park.
Okay, right. And so, and everyone convenes to begin the event?
Everyone meets there. You
okay.
sign up. They give you your backpack and everything.
Right, right.
You get your challenges the day before.
Okay.
So you can make your plan.
Oh, so you can plan ahead. That's
interesting.
So I think
Friday morning we're going to rent a van. There's going to be six of us.
All right.
We're going to rent a van. We're going to put all our tents and all that shit in there.
Uh-huh.
We're going to make our list of things we want to accomplish.
Okay.
Try to maximize the amount of points we can get.
Right, right.
Now, my big fear is there's two dudes on the team and then three ladies.
Okay.
Are these ladies going to be telling us not to do crazy shit?
Maybe.
Are they going to be like, I vote no for everything?
It could happen. Or maybe they're down for crazy shit. I mean, why did you pick these bitches? Are they basic bitches or are they adventurous bitches?
I think, well, I picked them because I thought they were adventurous. But now, I mean, we're in our mid-30s. It's not like we're
right.
25-year-old kids.
True.
If we were 25-year-old kids, they'd be like, I don't give a shit. Go do it.
Yeah.
Shoot up with heroin. Parasail off a building.
They just might.
Yeah. But now.
Calling all the basic bitches.
They are not having any of it. They're going to be like, let's do quirky stuff. Let's make smiley faces with ketchup on our tummies. Stuff like that. You know?
Is that a challenge?
Yeah,
in
they're
going to
be like, kiss a dog and shit
oh,
like that.
God.
They're not going to be like, kill a hobo. That's what I
want to
do.
That's what you want to do?
Yeah.
I didn't think they did that at Questival.
That's one of the biggest challenges.
That's part of it, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's kill good to... someone who looks lonely.
Oh, God.
25 points.
Wow, 25 points. That's big.
cross the border with dope up your ass.
That is a challenge.
That would be cool.
That is not easy.
No, I would not do that. Drink a gallon of castor oil.
Ugh.
You know, that kind of stuff.
Ugh.
That's what I'm into.
Ugh.
I don't want to volunteer at an animal shelter.
I don't think that's going to be on the questable list either. But if it was, I would do that.
But let me tell you something you can do.
Okay.
You can volunteer. You can download the app and volunteer to be a judge of Questival.
Interesting.
And Questival, you have to have... They don't just go on if you completed the tasks.
Okay.
They go, and then people from all around the world can look in the app and judge your how well you did from your pictures.
Oh, interesting.
And so if you do really well, that's how you win.
Gotcha.
So that's what we're trying to do.
That's a whole other wrinkle.
Yeah. It's a whole thing, man.
It's crazy. I see. Here's the thing. I'm glad I'm not doing it because I feel like I'm too much of a control freak and I would go ballistic on everybody for not doing it my way. Mm-hmm. But I'm sad that I'm not doing it because it's such a crazy challenge. But I'll get to live vicariously through you and the rest of the crew and your Questival successful.
Well, let's hope. Hopesable.
Yeah, let's.
So let me find out this link here. I want to tell you guys so where you can go to and judge.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool. Let's judge.
Judging. Here we go. The app you need is, it's called Llama Judge.
All right, that's
like
weird.
A llama, two L's, AMA, Judge. And it's only available on iPhone.
Okay.
So you can definitely do it, Jazz.
It's exclusive. All right.
Android person.
Okay, I'll be a judge. I'll go to llamajudge.com.
You have 24 hours after the race ends. So you have until Sunday night, August 28th, to judge my performance in Questival. My team name is Straw Dogs.
Okay. Very good.
So hopefully you can find it. And judge and see all the cool pictures. Also,
super
you can find
cool.
me on Facebook, Anderson Laufer.
Yep.
Or the game show Show and Stuff. And there's also challenges where you have to get like 100 likes for a picture, stuff like that.
Oh, cool.
So hopefully we can do that.
Yeah.
Gang, I hope you follow me and we'll get it all taken care of.
Yes.
You can also find me on Instagram, at Anderson Laufer, the Prince of Ravenswood, at Anderson Laufer on Instagram.
You're the Crown Prince of Ravenswood now?
That's right.
I did not know that. That's impressive.
That's what it says anyway on my Instagram.
Oh, nice. All right.
Nobody's going to bother like filling out the forms to find out if it's true or not.
Someone might challenge your title. We'll the see. Rightful Prince of Ravenswood might return to claim his throne.
I don't think so. They all left. All right, Jazz, let's do some birthday shout-outs.
And today is August 19th.
And it's a great day to be
a material girl.
A dirty old man.
A billionaire filmmaking inventor.
Or D, all of the above.
What's up, Madonna Louise Ciccone?
As a girl, you wanted to be a modern dancer. Little did you know you'd become the queen of pop.
With over 300 million records sold worldwide, you're the best-selling female recording artist of all time.
Michael Jackson almost sang La Isla Bonita, but thankfully you kept it and produced a masterpiece.
My Spanish lullaby.
What's up, Charles Bukowski?
An intellectual says a simple thing in a hard way. An artist says a hard thing in a simple way. Yep.
You also said some people never go crazy. What truly horrible lives they must lead. Yeah, buddy.
Your poems, stories, and novels shed a never-before-seen light on poverty, alcoholism, and the workaday world, earning you the title Laureate of the American Lowlife from Time Magazine. Fucking A, Chuck.
Happy birthday to my bro, James Cameron.
Terminator, Rambo 2, Aliens, The Abyss, Terminator 2. Those were junk compared to Titanic and Avatar.
$2.2 billion and $2.8 billion, highest grossing ever. Plus, you invented underwater cameras and shit.
Your films have been awarded by the Academy, and your environmentalism was rewarded when they named a new species of Venezuelan frog the Pristimentus James Cameroni. That's crazy!
And let's not forget
Otto Messmer, creator of Felix the Cat.
Classic wrestlers Fritz Von Erich and Dick Murdoch.
Crazy couple Frank Gifford and Kathy Lee Gifford.
Comic geniuses Bob Balaban and Steve Carell.
Cool actors Robert Culp and Timothy Hutton.
Hot actresses Julie Newmar and Angela Bassett.
Also born today,
trailblazing Illinois senators Carol Moseley Braun
and sitcom phenom Reginald Bell Johnson.
And today's birthday shout-out band features...
On guitar, Eddie Kirkland.
On drums, Scott Ashton of the Stooges.
On piano, Bill Evans.
On banjo, Emily Robinson of the Dixie Chicks.
With vocals by James J.T. Taylor of Kool and the Gang.
Al Hibbler of Edie Gourmet. Allie Hibbler and Edie Gourmet.
That's right. Killa Priest on the raps.
And Barry Hay of Golden Earring.
Oh, yeah. Golden
Radar
Earring.
Radar Love.
Yeah, baby.
If you've got a birthday shout-out, drop us a line and stuff at RadioMisfits.com.
Please do. Birthday shout-outs are made possible by Today in History, an application developed by Downshift Interactive and available online for free.
Visit the App Store and Google Play for information.
Oh, Anderson, there are so many people in the world and so many birthdays every day. It's a shame that we can't celebrate more. But we do what we can, baby. We do what we can right here on the Game Show Show and Stuff on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network.
We'll take a quick break. We're going to play some music by our guest, Pete Miser.
Yeah.
And then we'll be right back with Pete.
Yeah.
Motherfucking Miser. Right after.
To the yeah.
This.
Greenpoint player, Portland, Oregon, original rhyme sayer, Captain Crossfader, way up, $1.50 with the backpack, still dumb enough to slap Shaq and tell him that he raps whack, a loose screw, nothing like what you used to, I swoop through with my crew who abuse glue, refuse to, chill out, getting dogged by bras before they old enough to fill out, look, I smoke bowls with no weed in them, I wear tight drawers made of unwashed denim, skinny like John Lennon with them little round glasses, got beat down by Dido fans for my backstage pass. Got four tabs of acid, didn't feel the effects. Next night, I got wasted off half of a bet. Wound up in 12 steps with everyone concerned. Mom shaking her head, knowing I'll never learn. Third degree rug burns from b-boying on the shag. And nothing but rocks up in my trick-or-treat bag. My girl thinks I'm a fag and she's leaving with the kids. I said, I'm not gay, but my boyfriend is.
It ain't easy being me with all these insecurities. I'm such a sensitive MC. But mama never told me I have days like this.
I need a hug. I gotta get it, the guy got to get it. I gotta get it, the guy got to get it.
Give me a hug.
I gotta get it, the guy got to get it. I gotta get it, the guy got to get it.
I want a hug.
I gotta get it, the guy got to get it. I gotta get it, the guy got to get it.
I need a hug.
I gotta get it, the guy got to get it. I gotta get it, the guy got to get it.
I'm just your average, everyday basket case. When I was young, plastic glasses with a mask and tape. Hit the junior high looking for some ass to chase. Instead of getting down, I wound up with a slap in the face. Forever lacking the grace, so if she says no, I'm back in the face. Like, you promised! At least I'm being honest. The longest that I've gone without getting any play. Well, let's see, does that mean like going all the way? Okay, I admit it, I never fully did it. One time I came close, but my cousin, she wasn't with it. She said that I exhibit some unhealthy behavior. Plus, she didn't like the stolen bracelet that I gave her. I said, maybe if I paid her, so she slapped me too. Tried to turn her other cheek, but it was black and blue. I said, it's aight, baby, I ain't mad at you. She said, excuse me, no one here was even asking you.
It ain't easy being me with all these insecurities. I'm such a sensitive MC. But mama never told me I have days like this.
I need a hug. I gotta get it, the guy got to get it. I gotta get it, the guy got to get it.
Ha!
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Game Show Showing Stuff on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network. I'm Jazz. He's Andy.
Thank you, Jazz.
Yes,
well,
sir.
Well, we are joined. First of all, we're calling all the basic bitches, just like earlier. All the basic bitches.
That's the theme of the night.
The theme of the night, basic bitches. Well, you know, we've been talking lately about our favorite hip-hop music.
Yep.
And we openly discussed Eric B. and Rakim.
Oh, yeah.
EPMD.
Big Daddy
Kane.
Enemy. Oh, man.
And then my list is The Far Side.
Yep.
Of course.
Gotta
and then
love
we
him.
Also have a rapper from Oregon named Pete Miser that not a lot of people know of.
That's right. Sadly.
Sadly. And we discovered Pete Miser in 2005, I believe.
Yeah, it was about a year after the album first dropped and, you know,
mm-hmm.
the video came out a little after. And then all of a sudden we were like sending it to everybody we knew because the shit was so dope.
That's right. And so we've been following his career. Much like The Far Side as well.
That's right.
I wonder if Pete's ever heard of The Far Side.
That's a good show.
He probably knows The Far Side. And,
personally.
But here he is. Yeah, probably personally. Here he is from New York City, ladies and gentlemen, Pete Miser.
Yeah, buddy.
What is happening? What's happening?
Man.
It is an honor to talk to you, Pete.
Truly.
On the subject of The Far Side, so I have an album called Radio Free Brooklyn, and I did the whole album on an MPC 60 that I bought from Romai of The Far Side. So,
there you go.
I like to lie to myself and believe it's the same drum machine they used for Passing Me By, because that's my favorite Far Side joint.
Oh, yeah, that's a jam.
Man, that whole time in the early 90s in West Coast hip-hop seems like it was very influential to you just by listening to your sound. Would you say that's accurate?
Yeah, it was a good time, right?
Absolutely, man. A golden era.
Souls of Mischief, Far Side,
yeah.
All
yeah.
those guys.
Well, and all the underground stuff, like, I mean, Freestyle Fellowship, which then, of course, became Haiku d'Etat and all that. I mean, there was just so much good hip-hop coming out of there. And
most
your
underrated crew is, I was going to say, most underrated crew from back then is the Alcoholics. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. The Licks.
Out with the K.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
There's a lot of underrated hip-hop. We're going to talk, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that right off the bat, because I've been thinking a lot about how these kids today, man, even though it's easier to find stuff because everything's on YouTube, it's actually still hard to find good music no matter what.
Yeah, definitely true.
It's crazy, man.
So you have a strange distinction, Pete, because when I first saw you in music videos, I always thought that you were mixed race, maybe black and white, but it turns out you're Asian.
Yeah, half Chinese and white.
There you go. Now we know. Do you get sick of people?
And my mom was Quaker, so I don't know if that's what that counts for.
Really? That's
so
unusual.
Chinese and Quaker.
Ooh.
Ooh. Yeah.
Do you get sick of people asking you what you are?
You know, the funny thing is that, like, no matter where I go, people think I'm whatever they are. So if I go to Mexico, people think I'm I'm from like Mexico City or something. And if I was when I was in Brazil, people thought I was a carioca. You know what I mean? Like somebody from Rio.
Right, right. It's true, man. So, I'm half Italian, half Polish, and all black because my stepdad is black. And whenever we went anywhere in the world, everybody always thought that I was whatever they were too. Greek. It doesn't even matter. Jewish. They just look at you, and especially if you're if you're all sharing something in common like hip hop, then it all of a sudden makes everybody the same. It's kind of weird how that works, but it's dope.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So when you wrote Sense of a Robot, that was your first, would you say, breakout success?
It's hard to say because I mean, first of all, I don't know how much of a success it was. And secondly, I had been in a live hip-hop band that I founded back in Oregon. It was a 9-piece live hip-hop band, and we toured all over the country.
Wow.
So, I mean, by indie standards, it was really successful. I mean, actually, probably more successful than the Scent of a Robot thing. Scent of a Robot got a lot of visibility, but it's not like, you know, I was moving units like crazy and you know, that's not what put me in the stretch limo. It was the drugs that put me in the stretch limo.
Nice.
So, but that seems to be where most people discovered you. That was probably when YouTube started becoming big, right? And you made a video.
Yeah, there was a fan of mine off my website, and then he like hassled me about like, what's up with that? Hey, do you want to do a music video? Because I work for this company that does 3D graphics stuff, and came around. The company's called UV Factory, and they just Like, they basically hooked me up with a ridiculously hot video for nothing. They were just fans and wanted to do long-form stuff because they had done mostly commercials and things like that.
Yeah, it's cool. It looks like almost a video game.
It's so awesome.
I was wondering what that song was based on, because we were talking about it, you know, we've been talking about it for years, but I seem to think it's a Blade Runner kind of thing, and Jazz thinks it's a conspiracy theory kind of thing.
That's funny. I didn't realize when I wrote it that it's basically a Blade Runner thing, but it's basically a Blade Runner thing. I mean, it came to me in the shower, literally. All it was, I'm a robot.
It's so good.
Not to know that I'm a robot. And then, like, the rest of it just filled itself in really quickly. It was one of the few songs, you know, like, every once in a while I write a song in one sitting, and that was one of them.
Wow.
Yeah, I always
wondered. It was just really easy to, like, once I figured out what it meant, I just was like, it just kind of poured out. Like, what would happen if that were the situation?
Right.
Yeah, well, your whole day. Right?
And it's an awesome commonality, I think, that a lot of people have, like, when you have those weird paranoid delusions, like, you hear some weird conspiracy shit about the world, and then you're like, fuck, dude, what am I, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And so I think it hit a nerve, man.
Also, I mean, to me, for some reason, the part that sticks with me is the fact that my wife is still busting my balls when she finds out. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Totally.
Like, what did you do? I know you fucked something up.
Right? Honey. Such a great little transition. Oh, it's so dope. Well, we'll play the song on the show so that those of our friends and listeners who have yet to hear your music can actually know what we're talking about. Because I love hip-hop because of the storytelling potential, not just because of the creativity and the rhymes and the fact that, you know, I'm a child of the 80s and all that shit, but I love it when someone can use that to tell an interesting story or do something thought-provoking like you did there. It's awesome. Now, have you ever had a job where you had to work in an office and deal with that workaday bullshit that you kind of describe in the video too?
I mean, the closest I came to it was I used to work at a Kinko's.
Oh, man, that's rough.
Even that was like, but that was not even, that was basically, no, you know what? I had a job that had office politics when I was in high school, and then like a couple years, like 3 years after high school, I had this job working at a market research company. Because Kinko's was actually cool. Kinko's was...
Yeah, you
like,
could show up stoned.
I worked at Kinko's. Well, Kinko's, I got the job because I had just started that 9-piece band. And, like, the whole point was get a job at Kinko's so you can steal posters and press kits.
Yeah, smart.
I mean, like, basically everybody at Kinko's was in a band in Portland. To the point where there was the Kinko's Battle of the Bands, where it had nothing to do with Kinko's except for this venue said, like, every band that plays tonight, and it was like 9 bands, all have to have at least one Kinko's employee in the band. It was just tons of bands.
Man, that shit with going to Kinko's for posters and press kits and all that stuff, I remember us doing that, you know, 10 years ago when we first started doing our show.
Yep.
And being like, this could put you fucking totally out of business.
Yeah.
Just paying for these things.
No
you know?
Doubt.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's why you get a job there, man. It was ridiculous. It was... out of control, the type of shit that was going on at Kinko's back in the day. I mean, I don't know. They probably have hopefully they have a tighter lid on it.
Was
now,
there?
But,
oh, they do.
I mean,
was there banging?
I only worked there. I worked there for like a year, and then I would still go in there, and all the people I used to work with would still hook me up. And then, like, eventually it was people I had never worked with. Like, it was people who I had worked with that introduced the new guy to me and say, that's Pete. We don't charge him for anything.
That's so dope.
That's awesome.
Kinko's is shady, man. I had a bunch of friends who worked at Kinko's by me, and they would, like, give all of us, like, when they had the copy card system, they would give us, like, copy cards with, like, $500 worth of credit on it.
Yeah.
Or like, there was a whole crew of cats that were making fake IDs and shit like that. It was super shady. It seems like that's universal.
It's like a redistribute the wealth kind of by the Kinko's.
Totally Robin Hood. Oh,
so
man.
So after the robot song, you did another one of our favorites called I Need a Hug.
Uh-huh.
Or it's called, what is it called?
The B-side to that same single.
Oh, that's
awesome.
Oh,
it is, yeah. Yeah, so that's where we heard it. Yeah. It's great. Great song.
Well, and I remember I went out of my way. I mean, when I'm like I said, I'm a child of the 80s. So, like, when I hear good music, even today, Like, I'll go to the store and buy the record. So, you know, when you talk about moving units, I know what that's like because I got other
friends.
Dude, that
is so passe.
I know it is so passe. But I did. I went out and bought Camouflage Is Relative at, like, you know, our local record store just so that you could get credit for that shit because I was like, this cat is dope. I hope he keeps doing shit.
Yeah, and you've...
The owner who bought the record.
Yeah, that's
me.
It was him.
I'm the guy.
Did you find any success with that stuff? A little bit. Must have.
Yeah, you know... The thing is, that record came out as the economics for the record business was just doing this crazy, you know, like just making this big, huge boomerang maneuver. A friend of mine's dad said something about, like, I remember when water was free and you had to pay for music.
Wow.
But Camouflage Is Relative didn't sell a ton of records, but it actually earned me more money. I had songs from that album in films and television shows. And like, there's a scene in this Robin Williams movie where he walks into a club and he's visibly uncomfortable because there's hip hop music playing. And it's so sensitive. The I Need a Hug song.
Right.
Right. That's awesome. I think I remember seeing that. That's where he's the dad or something, right? I remember being like, God damn, that's Pete Miser in a Robin Williams movie.
It's also like remixed in Everything Is Illuminated, the Jonathan Safran Affair.
Oh, wow.
Now that's a movie
actually, I don't think
seen.
That's his name.
But still, look at you getting movie play. That's where the real money's at, ain't it?
Well, it's definitely a good situation. It's kind of a nice situation because I've done written a lot of music for hire where somebody says, you know, like, I need this kind of a song or can you write a, like, actually just recently I wrote a song for a NBA team that will go unnamed for now.
Okay.
But it's way better when you wrote the song and somebody says, oh, that's the song we want in our scene.
Sure.
Have you been still rapping or have you kind of just moved over just to composition?
No, actually, I've got a whole new album that I'm probably about a month away from completing.
Oh, dope.
It's basically like I've been on a little bit of a hiatus because I went through like some really hectic personal stuff.
Haven't we all?
And my mom passed away and a long relationship I was in ended and just like the meltdown of the music industry all was kind of occurring at the same time. And I'm always writing lyrics.
Sure.
But I had all this stuff that was super personal and I was like, oh, this doesn't, like, nobody wants to hear this. And then I realized it'll be hard for me to move forward until I get this off of my hard drive. So I decided I'll put the album out and whatever other people want to hear all my stuff can check it out. And, you know, I don't think I'm going to promote it that heavily because it's so personal, but it'll be what it is.
That's awesome, man.
That's how Eminem got so hot, though.
Yeah, right.
Just writing that diary kind of hip hop, you know?
Well, and Lord knows that you know, good news and bad news are equally fertile soil, you know, for being creative.
Yeah, I mean, I feel good about the songs. It's just, it's a dark ass album.
Sure.
It's just it's not a fun field trip, but, you know, we'll see. I think it might have meaning to people.
Did Hell you find yeah. yourself struggling with drugs and alcohol, that kind of stuff too?
I've actually never been like, I barely drink. I don't really mess with anything.
Yeah. You seem too productive
to
fall into that trap.
I'm like weirdly productive. I mean, not just musically, but like I've been actually this year, I've been doing a lot of visual art stuff. And if you go to my Instagram, you'll like see how like, weird I am with my shit. Like recently I've been getting just recently, like over the weekend, and can't tell anybody about this, but I'm now into spoon carving, like chopping down a maple tree and splitting the wood with an axe and carving spoons.
Man,
out of it.
You know you live in Brooklyn when you're spoon carving on the weekends. You ride one of those pivot. You ride a.
You could take the wrapper out of Oregon, but
you can't take Oregon out of the wrapper. Huh? Yeah. That's awesome.
You ride one of those penny farthing bicycles around everywhere too. That's a Brooklyn thing.
I ride a fixed gear.
Oh, you do.
Oh, a fixie. Look at you.
Pretty.
Pete, let me ask you something about fashion. Now, we're a couple of white dudes in Chicago. All of the guys we appreciate wear the flat brim baseball caps.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Do you think we should wear flat?
You talking about fitted?
The fitted in the back, but then they have they don't bend the brim.
Nobody bends the brims no more, man.
Right.
What's up with that?
Should we bend our brim or should we go flat brim?
Depends on what you're talking about. If it's a fitted, don't bend the brim.
Don't. Okay.
But if it's a snapback, like a fabric, like the light fabric snapback, then bend your brim. But I don't bend the brim on a fitted.
Interesting.
Which baseball team or basketball team fitted hats are you wearing right now?
I usually wear a Yankees hat, but it has no allegiance at all.
You don't have any allegiance?
I was wearing a Yankees hat, and this Mets fan was like, "Yo, what's up with that Yankees hat?" And I was like, "Dude, I'm not a Yankees fan. I'm a typography fan. I like the logo."
That's a good answer. It is one of the best logos ever.
Yeah, and if you live in New York, you can use hat in whatever color you want to find a hat in. But you can't, like, I've been looking for a Blazers hat in gray forever, but you can't find one.
Huh.
You know?
I'd
like to rep Portland, but, you know, I can't find a Blazers hat.
Is your family still in Portland?
Yeah. Yeah, my dad and my brother are still there.
That's cool. Do you ever get to go back and celebrate your successes with your family?
Man, I was back there carving spoons just last month. It's out of control. Portland is amazing.
It's expensive as fuck.
It's kind of a trip. I've been in Brooklyn, man.
Oh, yeah. So everything's...
I moved from Portland in 1998. It really changed a lot. I mean, mainly because the internet was barely being used when I moved. And now, I mean, it's a trip how... You know, Portland was kind of a little bit backwoods back then, and now it just doesn't feel like that at all, you know?
Yeah.
It's finally caught up.
It's ahead. It progressed past everyone else.
Yeah, pretty much. It's a pretty dope
place.
Yeah,
in a lot of ways it has. I mean, in a lot of, you know, I miss the isolated weirdness that was Portland. I mean, it's just like weird Portland stuff that doesn't seem like it's what's going on there anymore.
I guess so. So here's a question for you. Are you still dumb enough to smack Shaq and tell him that he raps whack? Have you ever
met? Did you ever hear Shaq's album, though?
Oh, yes, of course.
I like that one song, I'm Outstanding, but the rest of it was pretty booty.
Yeah.
You got something featuring KRS-One. Did you get to work with him?
No, that was a situation where I was at one of his shows. And he was on, like anybody who was shooting video, he encouraged them. He was like, you should start your own business and you should sell this video you're shooting. Like, this is hip hop. You should sell that. And so, and I had recorded some of the show. All right. I'm going to like make a track out of that and take him at his word.
That's awesome. Yeah. He's always
like, that's where that came from.
His live shows are incredible, man. I mean, you know, rap is something you do. Hip hop is something you live and all that stuff.
He ever find out about the song?
Not that I know of, but, you know, I'm not sure. I sent him, or I credited him on the songwriting. So it might be interesting if he's gotten BMI checks for it. And he's like, wait a minute, what? I don't remember this.
That's awesome. Well, way to pay homage to the teacher, man, because, you know, he is one of the most brilliant minds in hip hop.
On the other hand, Drez, you know, I worked with Drez on that song that's on Honest Mistakes, Drez from Black Sheep.
Yeah.
And I worked with him on a bunch of different stuff. And, man, that dude, first of all, he's the coolest, most down-to-earth, just most humble dude ever. But secondly, he's just got skills. I mean, I've always loved his shit. In the studio with me the first time, I was just like, his voice coming through. All these old-school hip-hop dudes have immense voices.
Yeah.
When you get somebody like Drez in the studio, do you feel like holy shit, I'm out of my league a little bit here? Or do you come in totally confident, ready to go?
I mean, I know what I'm doing, you know. Like, I worked with Pete Rock on some stuff and then what was going on. And also, you know, the thing is that this is a really interesting thing about the current era and those guys. Back when those guys were doing their thing, they were all on record labels. And now everybody's independent.
Yep.
So those guys actually, you know, don't know how to do because they were always on record labels.
Right.
So I've never been on a record label. I've always done stuff independently, even, you know, like my first, everything I've ever released has been independent. So I did most of the album artwork on pretty much all of my records.
Wow.
Did all the typography, layout, all that stuff. So those guys have actually come to me asking me questions about, how do you do distribution independently? Or what is the proper way to do this? Which isn't to say anything other than they come from a different era.
Right.
But, to work with those guys, it always feels pretty good because I feel like I've got something to contribute to them. It's not just, I mean, I'm at the same time, I'm just total fanboy,
Right. Oh, yeah.
Embarrassed with how excited I am to get to work with these cats. But, I feel like I have something to contribute to their scene too. So it's kind of nice that way.
Cause guys are all like grandpas now.
It's true.
Yeah. It's funny, man. When you went to work with some of your favorite, they got the little gray showing up and beard. And
they're like, sorry, I got to take some Metamucil here between the songs.
Well, I think we're feeling a little fanboyish too, getting to talk to you, man. Cause like I said, we've always thought your shit is like way, way creative and you're totally way underrated. And we're glad to be helping spread the word a little bit more right now.
Yeah. Thank you, Pete, so
much. Man, I appreciate the call. And, by the way, if you want to see Spoons, at Pete Miser on Instagram. At Pete Miser on Instagram. You can check out some serious spoon carving. Check out, I'm making bread, all types of weird, non-hip hop.
All Brooklyn shit. Doing all kinds of Oregon Brooklyn shit, right?
I love it.
Exactly.
Don't be surprised if we order some spoons, bro.
Oh, Jazz, you want to play Which Is Worse with
him? Oh, yeah.
We got him on the phone?
Hey, Pete, do you want to play a game? This is the game show and stuff, after all. So we do play games.
Yeah, I definitely want to play a game.
Oh, dope.
All right, let's see. Let me get it up here.
Wait, I got kicked out of primary school for recess, right?
No. Tell that story.
Because I don't play. I don't play, brother.
That's nice. Like a terrible pickup line. You should use that on a lady.
I got kicked out.
Here's a lady girl. Hey, girl, you want to go to breakfast? Should I call you or nudge you?
Oh, my God. If I was a girl, I'd be like, get the fuck out of my face.
Exactly.
But that shit might work, man. Bitches like shit like that.
All right. We got Pete Miser, the legendary hip-hop artiste and spoon maker on the phone.
Extraordinaire.
And he's certainly not a basic bitch, Jeff.
No, he is not. Anything but.
And we are
a
going to play.
Bitch.
He's a complicated bitch.
Join the club.
And we're going to play Which Is Worse.
Yes, Which Is Worse? The game of things to compare and contrast where your mouth and your brain have to move real fast.
All right, and our contestant tonight is Pete Miser, legendary hip-hop artiste, as we just said. And Jazz, tell us how we play Which Is Worse.
All right. Pete Miser, listen up. This is how we play the game. You will hear a series of 12 sets of two different things. You must instantly assess which you think is worse and name it. At the end of this down and dirty dozen, we will review your answers and tally the points. And that's how you play. Everyone say it with me. Which is worse? Yes.
Great.
Let me make sure I understand this. You're going to read two things and I'm going to tell you which is worse.
That's right.
The whole game.
And we're going to go down the line and you just say spontaneously.
Off the top of your head.
Off the top of your head. That's right. Spontaneously. That's the word.
Here we go. Okay. Put a minute on the clock, Jazz.
I'm putting a minute on the clock.
And the clock will start as soon as I finish the first two categories, Pete. You ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. Which is worse, cold hot dogs or warm beer?
Warm beer.
Sucka MCs or sucka DJs?
Ooh, sucka DJs.
Scantily clad video hoes or obviously rented video whips?
Obviously rented video whips, of course.
Yeah.
Political correctness or brutal honesty?
Brutal honesty.
The current music industry or the music industry of the past?
Music industry.
Drake or Meek Mill? Drake or Meek Mill?
Meek Mill. I have to cut off there. Meek Mill.
Okay.
Aesop Rocky or Fetty Wap?
which is worth Fetty Wap.
Riff nice. Raff or Iggy Azalea?
Man, Iggy Azalea is worse than warm beer.
Yeah.
Overproduced videos or underthought lyrics?
Underthought lyrics.
Underrated rappers with talent or overrated rappers without talent?
Which is worse, overrated rappers without talent?
Yeah.
The fact that everybody knows Aesop Rocky or the fact that nobody knows Aesop Rock?
Oh, the fact that nobody knows Aesop Rock.
Amen.
Kids being exposed to bad hip-hop or parents sheltering their kids from hip-hop?
I'll say parents sheltering their kids from hip-hop.
Yeah, I think I'd rather shelter my kids and have them listen to Drake. Although that makes me feel... I wanted to ask you this. I wanted to ask you this too, Pete Miser. When you listen to new hip-hop that comes out or new music, you're probably about our age, in your mid-30s, maybe 40, right?
Yeah.
When you listen to hip-hop music that's coming out now with the auto-tune and all this nonsense, does it make you feel like...
I'm going to freak you... I am going to freak you out right now.
Okay.
I'm going to drop some shit on you, and I want you to go check it out. Drake, if you're reading this, it's already too late.
Okay.
It's a mixtape, but it's basically an album.
Okay.
It is sick. It is off the chain. I think it is dope.
Okay.
Okay. All right, so Drake has...
For real.
Okay,
like,
word.
He has... I mean, lyrics and just concepts, and like, I think that is a dope album. I think that there's a lot more, you know, the thing is, I think there's more dope hip hop than there ever has been, but there's so much more whack hip hop than there ever has been that it takes forever to filter through the whack shit to find the dope hip hop. That's the problem.
You have to be constantly looking for it, which is the problem, you know? You can't just, like, this is your industry. But guys like us, you know, they're working other jobs.
Right, like in the 80s, basically every album that came out, you could just go in a record store, and if it's a hip-hop record, you could buy it. It's on Sleeping Bag Records, or it's on Tommy Boy, or it's on Profile. You just buy it because it's going to probably be good, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Because there was an era when no one thought they were going to get rich off of hip-hop, so they just only put out stuff that sounded really dope to them, you know?
Right.
And now that's just not the case. And also the barrier to entry is so low. You know, there's so many, like, you buy a laptop and it's got a studio built in.
Right, like, right. Yeah, we're entering, remember how rock music was in the, like, late 70s, early 80s, when it was just anyone who could fucking play guitar got an album.
Right, basically.
Yeah, that's kind of what's happening with hip-hop now. They're like, everybody loves this. Just keep making it. It doesn't matter.
That's right. Just churn it out.
I mean, because it's like there's no cost barrier, so it's just like, yeah, just spew it out and hopefully somebody will like it. And if they don't, no skin off our teeth, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, man.
All right, Pete, thank you so much for your time. Everybody, this is Pete Miser. You can find him at Pete Miser on Instagram.
Yeah, buddy.
And PeteMiser.com. And
hey.
Yes, sir.
NPR lapel pin for playing the game or what?
Yeah, you know what? We're going to send you a gray Portland Trailblazers hat.
That's right.
In the mail.
We're going to find that shit.
I want to call Castle's voice on my outgoing voicemail.
Yeah, you're going to get it. And then you're going to be like, I know some guys who got Carl Castle's voice on their voicemail, and they're like, this is fucking garbage. Like, he sounds drunk. You know? It's not even cool.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Hey man, look, I'll record your outgoing message. I'll record your outgoing message. I think I've got a better voice than that cat.
Yeah.
I'm gonna start a feud.
Actually, you guys should call me back to hear my outgoing message.
All right.
Okay, word.
We'll call you right after this to hear your outgoing message.
It's an exclusive track, so seriously, it's some exclusive shit that most people don't get to hear, so it might be worth it.
All right, awesome. We're going to call you right back as soon as we hang up. Pete, we're going to play a bunch of your music on the show tonight, and hopefully we'll talk to you soon. We'll catch up soon.
Cool. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, sir. Thanks, it was Pete. A pleasure and an honor.
Right on. Peace.
Peace.
All right, talk to you later.
Wow, that was dope.
Let me see if we can call his voicemail here.
All right, do it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, here is Pete Miser's voicemail. Coming, don't worry. Gonna hear Pete Miser's voicemail.
To avoid the following message from Pete Miser.
Put your name out here. Spit it out.
the message. The message is the aggressive.
Wow. Beautiful message.
That
beautiful
was dope. Pete Meiser, you are the winner of the game show and stuff for this evening and in perpetuity throughout the universe. Thanks again for joining us on the game show and stuff. Peace.
Well, I don't want to say he won. I don't agree with all of his choices, but I agree with, I would say, 80% of them.
Yeah.
And the which is worse.
Fuck yeah.
And he's Pete Meiser, so he can say whatever he
yeah,
wants.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, buddy.
But ladies and gentlemen, that's it for us. We will
see you next Tuesday. Yeah.
February 3rd, 2002, the first run through, or maybe the second, I reckon. Dig it. Don't mean to be self-indulgent, wish I could pull this out of my head, leave it by the roadside dead, but instead of that there, it sits and festers, messing with my cranial clump, should've given a bump is what my homeboys say, no noise stays, ringing my ears, singing my fears out, iTunes playlist, even the captain couldn't save this hoe, sprayed this flow like Krylon, resort to stalking like nylons, or cried till I was red-eyed like bitch-made Cylons, splitting a J, drifting away in the battle bucket Galactica, in fact it's the kid who practiced the tactics of kamikaze lemmings, and left my head spinning like Peggy Fleming. Dig it. Right there I showed my age but still insist on acting my shoe size. Whose lies will I believe? Anyone's, I guess. My stomach of steel digests everything from bicycle parts to Fran Tarkington's hairpiece. Beast on feces. She speaks softly in my ear. Crib is a bell. Rocked by Uncle L. Ladies love Cool J but don't know how to show it. Cradle cardio carefully before you blow it. So it's against this backdrop. The Mac mops floors with bunny slippers slipping from my bedroom door. Feet drag like queens. Drag like race. Know what I mean? For real. Are you listening or what? Yo, to make a long story short, it sucks when you broken up with your girl, but she's still stuck in your mind. Wake up one morning days later just to find she's gone for good, but still left her shit behind. And it reminds, fuck you and your toothbrush.